This is Tammy Graham with KSUT. I'm speaking with Nicholas Kristof, columnist for the New York Times, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner and humanitarian. He'll be the first speaker in the Community Foundation Serving Southwest Colorado's Making a Difference series. Nicholas will be speaking to a sold-out audience on Wednesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. at the Community Concert Hall in Durango. Nicholas, I know, welcome. First of all, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today.
My pleasure.
I know this is the first, as I said, in a series for the Community Foundation Serving Southwest Colorado. They're Making a Difference series, and clearly you've been making a difference for a very long time as an award-winning journalist. I know your talk, my understanding is your talk at Fort Lewis College will focus around your book and initially a documentary series aired on PBS, A Path Appears, Transforming Lives, Creating Opportunity, co-written by yourself and your wife, Cheryl Woodun. I wanted to ask you, since the release of the PBS series and the book itself, I guess specifically the documentary series, well, first of all, just for those who may not be aware, if you could talk a little bit about the premise of A Path Appears.
Sure. It's really about how to build a more equitable society based on how we can encourage and nurture opportunity in the country, and you know what people can do to make a difference in the world around them and in the country around them. What works, what doesn't work.
And you went all over the world. You actually, I just viewed yesterday the first part of the PBS series on sex trafficking, actually that takes place largely very much in the United States. I'm curious, since the making of the documentary and in the last few years, have you looked back at some of these projects that you focused on in the series and in the book and how they're doing now?
Sure.
The unique strategies.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that one of the big differences is that we're all getting better at change making and figuring out what works, what doesn't work. There's been more of a business sensibility that has come into the world of do-gooders, and partly that's based again on cost effectiveness and getting bang for the buck and how to call attention to issues. And I mean, sex trafficking is one of those classic issues that goes on because it's hard to talk about, because it makes people uncomfortable, and it's an area where I think there actually has been a fair amount of progress, both abroad and at home in the U.S. And of course, we also have a huge problem around the country with sex trafficking, and not just foreign women being smuggled into the U.S., but a lot of homegrown American girls who end up getting trafficked. And 15 years ago, they were often arrested. These days, there's a much greater understanding that they're victims, and that the police should spend more time going after pimps and johns and less time imprisoning these girls themselves.
So your work really, especially with The Path Appears and the book release itself, focused a lot on women and girls that of course, you and yourself, Cheryl Woodun, wrote. Can you talk about why women and girls were the focus of the book?
Sure. I mean, partly it's because often, especially in other countries, women and girls tend to be marginalized. So often the greatest needs and disadvantages and suffering involves women and girls, especially in countries with a huge gender gap. But I guess this other reason is that, just putting aside the justice issues, if you try to look at how you can most effectively make a difference on issues we care about, like global poverty, then often one has the most impact investing in women and girls. For example, investing in girls' education, getting more girls in school, then seeing those educated women ushered into the workforce, finding opportunities there. And if you look at countries that are torn apart by conflict, violence or terrorism, that have third-rate economies, then there are lots of reasons for that. But one factor is often that half the population is completely underutilized, and girls aren't educated, they aren't welcome in the economy, they have very little voice in society. And so I think there are both moral and ethical reasons and also very practical reasons to try to focus on gender inequity.
And the core denominator seems to also be the issue of poverty, not just with women and girls, but with a lot of the different issues that you focused on in the book and the documentary.
For most of history, people The vast majority of humans were illiterate, were living in subsistence, and, you know, children dying in huge numbers. And what is different is now we have the toolbox to conquer global poverty. And indeed, now fewer than 10% of the world's population are in extreme poverty. We're, you know, on the verge of licking this kind of extreme poverty on our watch over the next 15 years or so. If we manage to get the tools right and continue to invest, and you know, we're on the verge of wiping out some diseases that have been plaguing humanity for hundreds of thousands of years, guinea worm, things like this. And yet, I'm also afraid that actually, at this moment, we're disinvesting in some of these humanitarian and health causes. And boy, it just sure seems to me not the right moment to do so when we have a toolbox that works, when we know how to make a difference, and when there is still one person in 10 on the globe who is not getting that education and that chance at a productive human life, basically because they lost the lottery at birth.
Exactly. So it's not so much that we don't have the tools collectively, it's how we go about using them to address some of these major issues.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we know, for example, that investing in girls' education has a huge, huge return. We know that investing in nutrition at a very young age matters hugely, because if kids don't get adequate nutrition in the first 2 years of life, then their brains don't fully develop, and for the rest of their lives, they won't be as productive as they would otherwise be. We know that just things like deworming a child for 5 cents per person per year will, again, improve their nutrition, because the food will then go to them and not the worms, in ways that will improve their cognition and capacity for the rest of their lives.
Speaking with Nicholas Kristof, who's speaking at Fort Lewis College as part of the series Making a Difference. Final question, Nicholas. I know you're busy and about to head out of the country. You'll be speaking here in Durango in a couple weeks, a rural part of America. And for those folks who won't be able to be at the talk because it's been sold out for some time now, any input or advice for how can an individual living in rural America feel like they can make a difference on some of these issues?
So I do think that there are more ways now, partly with the internet, in which one can engage in global causes, and it can be lending on Kiva or going to globalgiving.org and making a contribution to a cause one particularly cares about. It can be supporting advocacy on issues like how many refugees the U.S. takes, which is an issue that is about to be decided by the Trump administration. But, you know, I'd also say that the great moral challenges we faced aren't just abroad, but also at home. A lot of those challenges are right here in the U.S.
Nicholas Kristof, thank you so much for joining us, columnist for the New York Times, speaking up at Fort Lewis College as part of the Making a Difference series presented by the Community Foundation serving Southwest Colorado. Nicholas, we look forward to hearing from you and meeting you in a couple of weeks.
I look forward to being in Southwestern Colorado.
Thanks, Nicholas. You take care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.